This time on Midnight FPL, we're going to be discussing our best and worst transfers and decisions of the season so far. We'll be discussing what the hell you're supposed to do in game week 18 and game week 19. We'll be doing our differentials as usual, and obviously so much more on Midnight FPL. All right, Joel, a sad day for you yesterday is you went out of the cup, which I think really hurt you, didn't it?
I mean, hurt is an understatement. yeah, it was, you know, when Chelsea lost the Champions League to United?
Yeah.
I draw like parallels between that and going out of the cup.
Definitely.
Yeah, it was pretty tough to take, but I've only got myself to blame, you know? Some awful, awful decisions on my part. So, at least I can now focus on the league, forget about the cup, and hopefully make some better decisions going forward.
I feel like Pep must feel with, like, Benjamin Mendy, where you, like, put faith in someone. I, like, want you to do well, but you're just shit. And, like, you ignore everything we recommend you. You took that stupid -4 this week. It's insufferable. And I'm quite invested in your success now. Mate, you lost to Inter Miami, whose rank is 7,176, 988. They're literally in the bottom 0.something%.
No, but that, to be fair, that's because he takes like fat hits every week.
Wait, he still plays and he's ranked below 7 million. That is shocking.
Yeah, yeah,
7.8
no,
million players.
He takes massive hits every week. And he always captains Bruno.
He didn't take any hits this week, mate.
No, it's probably because he was glad he got into the cups. So he was probably focusing on that. But
also, you have to consider, in that 7 million people, you have people that entered in like
most
week
of it is
6
that,
and week 8.
Or people who literally set up like a team and have to play one. And Joel lost to him. That is incredible. Yeah. He's got 527 points, Sam.
Yeah.
that's less than double. That's less than half mine.
I swear Joel only has about 20 more than that.
Yeah, fair.
No, I've actually got 953, actually. Thanks very much. Yeah, no, it was just awful. Like, it was awful. I didn't really want to talk about it because it was so bad.
I want to talk about it.
Sam, why don't we talk about your cup game instead, then?
Oh. Because I'm a proper football fan, I'm not going to go as far as saying it compares to my team going out of a major tournament in the final, like Joel did. But
And because you don't reach many major finals.
Well, the Europa League final.
Yeah, yeah.
So Atletico Madrid, that was just absolutely devastating. It doesn't get worse than that, really. It's like the one time we'll ever get to a final and we lost. Anyway, I didn't get into the cup. I had a pretty bad week a couple of weeks ago. And then this week, I had another bad week and I got 51 points. I said on the podcast I was going to captain Kane. And then I was like, oh, fuck it, I'll bring him out. He hasn't done anything. Tottenham get hardly any chances. And I'll bring in Vardy. Vardy away at Newcastle. It just seems like the perfect fixture. And then he gets 5 points and Kane gets like 13 points. so that really screwed me. So I got 51 points and the average was 56, which was really terrible. But I'm glad this game week has come along at this stage in the season because I usually finish strong. And I don't want any of this happening at the end of the season. I feel like this is a learning curve.
Sam, can I just quickly bring you up on something? You took a -4, so you actually got 47, which is even worse. But
oh, thanks for the correction, man.
No worries. He's always there to drag us back down.
I think that was Joel-esque, that -4.
Yeah. No, it was.
What are you doing?
Can I explain the -4? So initially, I brought in Vardy and Cancelo, and I took out Kane and Reguilon.
I took out
Reguilon, and that was on the morning of the game week. And so I thought that was pretty good. Reece James had a 75% chance of playing, so I was like, okay, keep that. Then I see Reece James has unknown return date about 10 minutes after I make those transfers, so I'm like, okay, right. I'm going to bring in Stuart Dallas and take a -4. It was really impulsive. Shouldn't have done it. I mean, Reece James was going to be on my bench anyway. But I just thought maybe if I put in Stuart Dallas instead of Target, which would be a double up on Man United, Aston Villa defenders playing against Man United, that would be a bit stupid. So put in Dallas.
Then -4 to bring in the player from one of the worst defences in the league away to Tottenham seemed like a really smart idea.
No, because we all know that the only reason you bring in Leeds defenders is for the propensity for them to get forward.
So you're banking on a Dallas hat-trick away to Tottenham from right back.
No, I wasn't. I was banking on a Dallas assist and maybe a one bonus.
Okay, but
still
even
a
your
bit of a long shot, though.
I just don't get why you stick with Kane for as long as you did and then pull the trigger against Leeds. But we've seen Leeds play a million times. They get torn to shreds whenever they play anyone decent because they're so exposed. We said that on the podcast.
I mean, I know what you're saying, but Leeds going into the Spurs game had kept two consecutive clean sheets and had scored 6 goals in those two games.
Burnley and West Brom.
I take your point. But I just sort of think, you know, I've kept with Kane for a long period of time. Instead of going all out on those midfielders like having De Bruyne and Salah, which you had. And it just got to a point where he wasn't getting any chances. Every time I watched him, you were just sort of like, every time he got the ball on the halfway line, he was just like, why the fuck is he there? Why can't he just be waiting for the delivery in the box, like in the 6-yard box?
Sam, stop trying to justify this. It was an awful, awful decision.
Like, I was going to say, at least Joel takes him on the chin.
I'm used to it at this point. But it's like when a top 6 club is playing Leeds, Leeds are gonna concede loads. We saw it against United.
Chelsea
was obviously going to happen against Spurs as well. Like it's just like of all fixtures you would want players in. I know like
now,
but of all fixtures you want players in, it was Spurs against Leeds for that game.
You are right. The issue is we have the benefit of hindsight now. Thing is, Vardy could have banged.
Yeah.
And then it would have been mad. So
yeah. Well, I'm the same as Sam. I bought in Vardy and took out De Bruyne, obviously kind of did a few other changes, but I took out De Bruyne so I could afford Vardy up top, and that went really badly as well. Because De Bruyne got 13 points and that was a -4 as well. So that cost me my cup, that cost me my overall rank, that cost me everything.
Cost you everything.
It was literally, I couldn't believe it. And it was awful. It was horrible, horrible to watch. So I got 58, including my -4. And like McCarthy got coronavirus, so he would have got a clean sheet against Southampton. Like Captain Son, but it was fine. But it's like, when you make such a big decision, like taking out De Bruyne and bringing in Vardy and it going so wrong, it doesn't really matter. I mean, your game week's already going to go badly, but it doesn't really matter how your game week goes because decisions like that just like hurt and you don't forget about them many times in.
Joel, you just slated me for my decision on Kane. Like, you know, the history that Leeds have against sides in the Premier League this season, conceding lots of goals. Yeah. De Bruyne is now the top scorer in Premier League matches against Chelsea out of all the players who have played for Chelsea.
Yeah, but
That's a like weird stat. Who's even second? I mean, it's going to be quite a small pool to pick from, really, isn't it?
Because anyone who's played for Chelsea and then who's played against them, he's the top scorer.
He's probably played against us the most times out of anyone. Anyway,
You got Salah as well.
But De Bruyne had been an awful run of form.
Joel, I can't be bothered to listen to this. I'm just going to knock it on the head. You're an idiot. You asked our listeners on a poll. De Bruyne, I was thinking about bringing him out because he didn't have a double game week 19. It then got announced. He's playing Palace at home and Villa at home. He's got Brighton at home 18 and he's got West Brom away 20 and then Sheffield United at home 21. It's unforgivable. The highest point scorer of last season and you took a hit to take him out with those fixtures.
That double game week.
Everyone's going to be rushing to bring him in. And you were one of the lucky people who had him despite not knowing he had a double and you decided to take him out. And I know his points have been poor, Joel, and you're going to listen to me and it'll be incredibly dull. I can see your eyes scanning it. But the reality is De Bruyne is world-class. He showed that last week.
Cool.
And everyone will want him for the double. And you've gone taken him out.
I get
that. This is harsh.
I get that.
I can't be bothered with it. As Newcastle, I said, Pep home, and Mendy.
3 points. Southampton Joel, away, 5 points. West Brom.
Joel, last season, highest scorer out of the whole league.
Salah, yeah, but this season is what matters.
Does and it? Because you were wrong. Joel, your gut is always wrong. Can we just...
Yeah, I know. But I had the stats to back me up this time and I still got proved wrong.
Joel, why are you even arguing with the flawless Louis? He's never made a mistake. What's the point?
Louis is, yeah, we forget Louis is a genius and he knows everything. Yeah. Omnipotent.
Okay. He's so good.
Should we go on to my team then? If you're setting me up for it. So I got 74 points without a hit.
So good, Louis. You're so good.
Son captain, stroke of genius. Kept De Bruyne, obviously, because I'm not a moron. Fernandez, just the postman always delivers. Jack Grealish was superb as well. And then little key foul clean sheet. Just take note, boys.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. You've got the Midas touch, I think, Louis. Do you make any transfers?
Yeah, I did. I did one transfer, which wasn't good. Well, it's for the long run. I did Reece James because he's injured for Diaz. Sam, you're the biggest advocate for waiting till the last minute to do anything. And then you got done. You didn't wait for Lampard's press conference on Reece James, which was at one.
When was his press conference? I don't watch Lampard's press conference. I don't really care. But I don't know when the press conferences are happening because I don't really care about Chelsea's press conferences. But I sort of assumed 2 hours before the deadline, everything would be sort of set in stone. But clearly it wasn't.
Well, what is it? Piss poor preparation. No, what is it? Prior preparation prevents piss poor performance. And you just didn't do your basic research, Sam, and paid the consequences.
Sorry, sir.
That was just a Joe Tully quote.
Yeah, well, it was awful. It was an awful week for me and Sam.
A lot worse for Sam. Okay, we'll move on. All right, so for part two, if I wasn't smug and condescending enough, it would be a shame if I also won differentials this week. Can anybody beat my Sison Ings returns? Sam, I can't even remember who you went for.
I can't remember either. Just give me a second. Ask Joel.
Joel. I know who you went for.
Yeah, I had some more awful decisions on so many levels. Only one of my differentials actually started. I had Nat Phillips who didn't even play. So he got me zero. So that was a stupid idea from me. But also I assume like people don't listen to my suggestions because like I'm just not doing very well. Rashford, again, not a great shout. I thought he would do all right against Villa, but he got nothing. He got two points, which like who cares? And then Antonio, who for last game week was obviously a bad shout because I think he only got 1 point, but I still think he's someone worth thinking about going forward, especially for the double game week. So granted, this game week he did really badly, but still one to think about coming up.
Okay. Yeah. All right. While Sam tries to rack his brain.
No, I know who I had.
You had James Maddison. I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I had Connor Cody in defence. I mean, it's just so disappointing on so many levels because Wolves were up 3-1 and... Well, they should have beaten Brighton, and Brighton are competing for relegation with Fulham. But Cody got 1 point because they then shipped 2 goals and they drew a Brighton 3-3. Then I had James Maddison, and that was actually a pretty terrific shout, I have to say. 10 points.
Oh, fuck, you might have beaten me. I completely forgot about that.
This is what Jamie Vardy should have done. Just banged it top of the net. Lovely.
Just don't pass to Mark Albrighton.
Alicia says, I hate him. I hate him. He cost me so many points. He barely succeeded in delivering a single cross. And then, like, the last minute, Vardy, like, is on the break, passes to Albrighton. All Albrighton has to do is just play Vardy back through so Vardy can finish bottom corner. And he just fumbles it. He's so useless. What is he actually good at? Apart from, like, an engine. It's just... Oh. Anyway, so 10 points for him. Up front, I had Rodrigo, who only got 2. against Tottenham. So in total, I got 13.
That's better than normal. Does that beat me, Joel? What do you think? So Dan, so Danny Ings, 3 bonus points. Well deserved. What a cheeky goal that was. He's so good.
Yeah, that was an unreal finish.
Great finish.
I said, don't be scared of Liverpool. And then I was even less scared of Liverpool when they lined up with Henderson at centre-back. So.
And Trent Alexander-Arnold just generally is just a defensive disaster that keeps on giving. I've said it before, I'll say it again. He is terrible defensively.
He's now bad offensively as well. So the combination. You see, Klopp was going apeshit at him during the game.
Louis, I love that stat that you post on our chat. Something about the amount of times he's given away possession.
So 38 times he lost the ball. And he came off in the 78th minute, meaning he was losing the ball once every 2.05 minutes, which is just appalling.
That is outrageous. Like, isn't that a record? That's some sort of record.
It's the highest this year. I wonder if it's because I wonder whether it's the highest because he didn't play 90 minutes, and I'm sure the other people in previous seasons probably have. But yeah, terrible. You had to hook him for James Milner when he was chasing a goal. He was playing so badly they used up one of their subs to take him off for James Milner. I mean, that is.
I love it when Liverpool do badly. Klopp just like comes out with all this like rubbish.
He's actually losing his rap.
Yeah, his head's fully gone.
Yeah.
Sy scored against Brighton. I thought they wouldn't concede 3 goals, but I got away with it because he scored. Sy has a real eye for goal as well for some reason.
Yeah, is that the second week in a row he scored?
Yeah, he scored against Tottenham, didn't he?
Yeah.
Maybe there was a gap. But Roman Sice, 7.
He scored an own goal, I swear, against Tottenham.
No, he scored a goal.
Yeah, he scored the goal. It was... And Ndombele scored in that game.
Oh, no, the ball went off him or something, I swear, for, like, the winner or something.
Maybe that was against United. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, that was against United when Rashford... Yeah. It took a deflection off him when they scored in the last minute.
Yeah.
And then Harvey Barnes, 2. So that makes... 18.
Well, what about?
Flawless again, Lou.
Yeah.
It's the week.
It's difficult to argue with your record.
I need to get taken down to earth quickly. Hopefully I will this week as we do our differentials for this week. And the caveat being, this isn't enforceable, but I believe in the goodwill of my fellow hosts. Because we've got 3 here and all 3 of us are using it, which we'll get to later. I think all of our differential choices should be in our free hit team because why would we suggest them to you if we didn't think they were fit for purpose in our own team? So that's going to be the caveat this week. All 10% below ownership. Sam, I believe you'd be making some notes. Do you want to consult them and tell us your 3 picks?
I have loads of notes, but because I have so many notes, I think I should hand over to you because when you guys go with something, I can go with something else, but I don't want to take your shout.
That's so noble of you, Sam. Joel, yeah. Do you want to fire away and tell the listeners not what to do?
Well, I assume this is the point where the listeners stop listening or mute
probably,
it. And...
Probably earlier than that.
Yeah. so I've gone for one of my differential picks is Luke Shaw for United at the back. He started, it's again kind of a bit of a dubious choice because him and Telles have had a bit of rotation. But he's actually started playing a lot better since United signed Telles. And he's on corners and some free kicks as well. He's only 4.8 as a United option, which is not too expensive. So if he starts away to Burnley, I think he should get a clean sheet and might even nick an assist as well.
Can I comment on that quickly?
Yeah, go for it.
I think it's a really good shout. But the only thing I'd say is I think Shaw might actually be Solskjaer's first choice left back. And because they're playing Burnley, I don't know if they'll play Telles.
No, because Sam, they've got an FA Cup game.
Okay, yeah.
This week.
Yeah, to be fair, it depends. It depends who he plays. But what's that little kid called with a stupid haircut who plays left back?
Brandon Williams.
Yeah. They'll probably play him in the Cup.
No, I think they'll play Tejas, but they've got 2 cup games between now and then because they've got the Carabao on Wednesday and then they've got...
They won't play Brandon Williams for the Carabao.
They'll play him in the FA Cup.
My differential for midfield, I can't believe this didn't make it onto the pod last week because it was actually a phenomenal shout from me, but it wasn't actually recorded, but I said last week that Gundogan, or whatever his name is, was a good shout. I see he scored a couple goals.
I don't remember you saying that.
I definitely said it. Don't say that. But he scored a couple goals. When I've watched him play, he gets really far forward into the penalty box and stuff. So I said on like our group chat, whatever, he's a good shout. And then obviously he scored against Chelsea. He's still only 5.4 at home to Brighton. Pep likes playing him when they're not looking to kind of be too defensive. And I think against Brighton, they want to attack lots. So I can see him starting. He's 5.4. He can get goals. So he's only owned by 1%, I think. So yeah, he's definitely a good shout. And then up top, my differential is Lacazette. Obviously scored two goals against West Brom. The strikers are slim pickings for this game week, but Arsenal were in decent form. Lacazette scored last week, so I think he's a good shout.
Lacazette scored loads of goals in a row, hasn't he? Oh, he's got like three. I think he scored in his last three games or something ridiculous. Yeah, he has. So he scored against Chelsea, scored against Brighton off the bench, and then scored two against West Brom. So I can't argue with that. I'll argue with why. I just don't. I'm happy you're bringing in Luke Shaw and Gundogan on your free hit, because Luke Shaw price at 4.8 is quite cheap, to be fair.
Yeah, watch the space. At least I won't get any minus fours for it, so it won't be too much damage to my team. But yeah, I don't mind it, actually. I'm quite happy with my picks. Anyway. Yeah, that's me.
Cool. So how many do we think Joel will get this week? Based on his current run, I think he'll get 4 or 5. I think he could touch 5 this week.
I think he'll get 6.
Oh.
What about at least a clean sheet bonus for Gundogan?
No.
Ooh, yeah. That could be the big bucks. But he could get a yellow card.
Yeah.
Right. My three, who I'm so confident will beat yours, are Kieran Tierney, 18 points last week. In an Arsenal side that does lack quality, even when they've been playing badly, he's always been a shining light. Kieran Tierney's quality. He is just, yeah, gets forward a lot more now, whips in quality balls, assist threat, even goal threat as well. And they're beginning to look more solid, and they've got a nice fixture against Palace at home. Palace haven't looked too great lately, albeit being Sheffield United, but most people do that. In midfield, I think I've gone for this person. This is my third time now, and he's blanked or not started every time. But I'll put my neck on the line again for Raheem Sterling, who I think, if he doesn't play in the FA Cup and does play in the Carabao Cup, I will put him in my team, because Sterling, as we've all played fantasy for a while, and we know he's got the explosive power on fantasy, he can get those like 15, 16-point weeks. He's City look really good against Chelsea. If they click into gear, they'll absolutely roll over. That Brighton side, who conceded 3 against West Brom, let alone how many they're going to concede against City. And then up top, I have got Tony Martial. This is someone I'm less confident about putting in my team. If I was playing a free hit, which we'll discuss later, I don't think I'd be playing 3 up front. I'd probably just go with a couple, and I'd probably go Callum Wilson. But if I had to go for a striker below 10% ownership, I'd go for Martial, because he looks all right, and United tend to be better away from home. So those are my three picks.
I like Martial. I think it's a really good shot.
I don't know.
He doesn't do it for me.
He misses. He's kind of like Werner. He misses a lot of like chances he should score, and he doesn't finish well at all. But he does get
something. He's got something like 4 assists in his last 5 games, or 5 assists, or something like that.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, like United are playing well, and he's got good enough players around him to get assists. But it's whenever he's like 1-1, he always seems to fluff it. So, I think his finishing's not been great, but he can still grab a goal. Well, who are yours then, Sam?
Okay, so I think it's a toss-up for the defender, because I wanted to go with a Burnley, a Man United defender, because they're playing Burnley away. I can't see Burnley. Well, they could score, but I just think they've got so little firepower. I think it's reasonably safe. And I was wondering whether to go with Wan-Bissaka or Baye. And Baye played in the last game, and he played unbelievably well. Yeah. And he's only 4.9 mil, whereas Wan-Bissaka's 5.3. So it would save you a decent amount on that, and also he's only 0.7% ownership. So I reckon I'm going to go with Bailly. And then in midfield, I'm going to go with Phil Foden. And he plays so well against Chelsea. I reckon he will start against Brighton. It's a relatively low-risk fixture for Man City. So I think whatever's lingering in Guardiola's head about whether he can trust Foden or whatever, after that game against Chelsea, against a low-risk team like Brighton at home, I think it's a reasonably good shout. And he played so well, he scored. So I'm going to go with Foden midfield.
Can I buy it?
Yeah, go on.
So I agree with that Foden at quality, but Pep loves playing Foden in the Cup, so I could see him actually playing the Carabao Cup and their FA Cup game, and then him bringing in, I don't know, Mahrez or Bernardo Silva or whoever, because he tends to always play him in the Cups, but maybe not. I mean, he has no excuse not to play him anymore after that.
That's a good thought, a really good thought that I hadn't thought of. And I have Mahrez down as well, as between Foden and Mahrez. But the reason I've gone with Foden is because even though I haven't activated my free hit or really thought about it yet, because it's quite a long way down the line, I can imagine myself having Foden more than I can imagine myself having Mahrez. Because Mahrez is quite expensive. I'm not really sure he's worth the premium. Anyway, up front, I'm going to go with, again, quite a cheap option. With this free hit week, I think, like, you want to bring in lots of people who have high ownership because you just want to maximize points and do as well as you can, obviously. So another cheap option, Joel Linton. I think he gets forward really well. And he's definitely improved lately, and he's playing Sheffield United away, who are undoubtedly probably the worst team that have ever played in the Premier League season. So, yeah, by Foden and Joel Linton.
I'm so glad I created the rule that you have to bring them into your team. Sam is going to rock up with Joel Linton, and I can't wait. I really hope he does well, because I appreciate the boldness.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, surely that's in for a shout of being worse than my three picks.
I thought he's all right.
I had other people down, like Richarlison, Mahrez. I even had Aubameyang down because I thought surely Holmes Crystal Palace, he's going to come alive. I had people like Diaz, Reguilon. But the problem with all these people is they're reasonably expensive. And that because we're doing differentials, they have to be below 10%. Are you actually likely to bring them in when they're below 10% ownership and they're expensive in a free hit week?
A few players we haven't mentioned are like Saka and Smith Rowe, who are both very cheap. Even Martinelli as well, and will have low ownership. I think Smith Rowe is only 4.5. And he got a few assists last game. So there are people we haven't mentioned, but maybe keeping an eye on as well. Because I think they could be in with a shout.
I'm going to just quickly go through the free hit. All right, so for the next part, this is all very free hit centric, but we feel like it's the sort of the topic of the day and the thing that people probably want the most guidance on. Sorry if you don't have a free hit. I know Toby listens to the podcast, doesn't, but I don't think it'll be that bad, especially with the United fixture going ahead. And is United, a lot of people have Fernandes and Son and Kane, so I don't think it's the end of the world. But if you do, then listen out for this. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through each fixture, and I'm going to ask the other two what one player they think is essential to own from that fixture in a free hit, and what player they think is a trap. So a player that people will be considering, but realistically, is probably going to blank. We'll start on Tuesday evening with Sheffield United versus Newcastle. Sam?
I don't think anyone in this fixture is essential.
Who's the most essential? Is that what I should have said?
The most essential? I'd say a pretty decent option would be Yedlin. He's been playing a lot recently. He gets forward really well. He's got loads of pace, so can really exploit any frailties in the defence, which we know Sheffield United have. I haven't checked his price, but I can't imagine he's very expensive because he hasn't started. 4.3, I think that could be a really good option. I'm not saying Sheffield United aren't going to score, but you know, it's as safe a fixture as you're going to get for Newcastle, I reckon. And I'm not sure about Callum Wilson, to be honest. I think he's a cheat. I have really strong feelings about him. I really don't like him. I feel like the only way he can score is by getting a penalty or diving or whatever. He's not actually that good, especially when you compare him to other English strikers. Like the difference between him and Vardy last week was pretty stark, even though Vardy only got 5 points. The only other option, the only other option I might suggest is Aaron Ramsdale, because I can't imagine Newcastle not scoring. They've gone against two bigger teams recently and sort of sat back and absorbed the pressure and played that way. Whereas I reckon they'll try and go on to Sheffield United more. And I don't think they play well when they play like that. Ramsdale's only 4.7. I can imagine him getting a lot of saves potentially and not necessarily conceding. I think that's a generally pretty decent option. And he's cheaper than Martinez. So those two, either Yedlin or Martinez or Ramsdale.
Do you want to hear a fun fact about Aaron Ramsdale?
Yeah, go on.
He's not kept a single clean sheet this season.
Yeah, I know that, but it's got to come at some point. I think Newcastle are trash, and I think Callum Wilson is a diving cheat.
You put Joel Linton in your differentials. You've got him in your team.
I know. But I've gone with Joel Linton as like a cheaper option who might bang, but like to
definitely put on your bench
in your team.
Anyway, Joel, I'll see what you say, but I couldn't really disagree more with that. Do you want to go?
I kind of agree with Sam about Callum Wilson. Newcastle have been so poor recently. And he hasn't offered much going forward, and he's missed like there are a few chances in the Leicester game he had which he fluffed. So for the free hit, I wouldn't necessarily like try and bring him. They're better strikers to go for, basically.
Yeah, definitely.
Like Joel Linton.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is Joel Linton because he's so much cheaper. Like Callum Wilson is such a pointless person to go with. So I just don't think he's very good, and he's pretty expensive for what he is.
And who's your trap, Joel?
I don't know. Really, the way of viewing this fixture is that Newcastle are going to keep a clean sheet and maybe win.
So you essentially said Callum Wilson's your trap, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I said Callum Wilson my trap. Yeah. And then I'll go for any Newcastle. Carl Darlow, he's probably the cheapest goalkeeper option for this week. So that's most likely to keep a clean sheet. So I'd say Carl Darlow safest.
I'm just going to quickly go mine. I'm going to flip it on its head. I think Callum Wilson will score. Sheffield United, rubbish. And I think Callum Wilson's actually really good. Takes penalties as well. Striker after striker fails at Newcastle because they get no service. And like, did you watch the Liverpool game, that 0-0? He made so much from getting so little service, I think. And I think he will score against Sheffield United. And my trap is therefore your recommendation, Sam, Aaron Ramsdale, because I think people will look at his price tag and look at that fixture and think, I might put Ramsdale in, and sort of lose sight of the fact Sheffield United played a lot of bad teams and they always seem to concede. And a lot of that reason is because of Aaron Ramsdale. I think he's rubbish.
He's awful. He's so bad.
Yeah, he was really struggling. But yeah, those are mine. We'll move on from that fixture. It's incredibly dull. I will do my best not to watch that game, hopefully. but I probably will end up being so bored that I will. Burnley United. That's a bit more exciting, though I actually think will probably be dire. Samuel Story, fire away.
I think the obvious two are Rashford and Fernandes. It's pretty easy, really, for United. In terms of traps, it's difficult to say because, like, for Burnley, you wouldn't have any of their players, really. If you're making a free hit with a clean canvas, you're not going to have any of their players, so it's not really a trap. Like,
exactly. So who do you think in that United team could be a trap? You could
say
Alex Tellez. I don't know. Yeah. You could say Martial. Yeah.
So maybe a defender, because Man United... No, I rate Martial. For Man United, I think potentially... I could potentially see them conceding. So maybe any of the defenders. But I think the trap I'll go for is Mason Greenwood, because he didn't start last week. And Solskjaer's got this thing where he likes playing Pogba slightly on the left, so Rashford goes over to the right. Exactly.
I think that's ridiculous. I think Rashford should be playing on the left every single day of the week. It really annoys me.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, and I really like Mason Greenwood, but I can imagine Mason Greenwood not necessarily starting, and if he does, getting taken off at around 70 minutes. So I reckon my trap is Mason Greenwood.
Your trap is Martial, because why?
Because his finishing's been off this season. He has so many chances and missed them. Like I've said it already. He's got lots of good players around him who are all better than him, and it's clear he's not the kind of main goal threat. He could grab an assist or whatever, but I just think he's there just because he's a striker away to Burnley doesn't necessarily mean he's going to get points. So I think he's my trap. And then, same as Sam, you've got to have like minimum Bruno, if not Bruno and Rashford for that fixture. So there are two to look at.
Okay, I think my trap is any United defender. I think Wood, Barnes. I don't think United are nearly as good as people think they are, and I think Wood will bully their defenders. And I think they'll nick a goal. They might not win. And then the central is just Bruno Fernandes because he's so good. But there's no novelty in telling everyone that because we all already know it. Joel, you said, I guess, another question could be which game is a trap? And you said Wolves-Everton is one to stay clear of. So we'll keep that brief. Sam, if you were to go for someone from this game, is there anyone who catches your eye? Rayman Saïss, maybe?
No, because I can see this being a score draw. A pretty dull one at that, 1-1 maybe. I'm so bored of having in my team, but I'd have to say Calvert-Lewin, I think, or maybe James Rodriguez because he's back. And as soon as he came on the other day, he made an instant difference to the way Everton were playing. So I think he'll definitely start, and he could make a serious difference, I reckon. So James Rodriguez.
I like that bit of risk. But the thing with Calvert-Lewin is, I was thinking this. Is if you don't have Calvert-Lewin on your free hit, every person who hasn't free hit it is still going to have Calvert-Lewin. And then you'll just feel like such a prat because you've just taken him out for 1 week and he scored. And I don't want that egg on my face. I might just put him in out of safety.
I don't feel that worried about that because I think if he does score, he'll score no more than one goal. When was the last time he scored more than a goal? I've said this for weeks now. And I can't see Everton getting sort of three goals away at Wolves. I can see it being, as I said, a score draw, 1-1, something like that. And if he does do something, I can't imagine him getting any more than sort of 8 or 9 points. And you could use that in other ways in your team, and it's still not a guarantee he's going to get 8 or 9 points. So I'm okay with not having him in there.
Joel, do you have anything to add on this fixture? Any wise insights?
This may be a bit stupid, but
probably
I can almost see Wolves keeping a clean sheet just because,
I agree with that.
Everton aren't that creative, like, I know they've got Hammers back and they've got, but like, Richarlison's so poor, everyone talks about him.
You can never say his name,
Richarlison, whatever. Richarlison's been awful. Calvert-Lewin's looking off. James might make a difference, but not much. They're missing Digne a lot. I could see Wolves being pretty solid and Everton not being on it. So it's not going to be high scoring. I can't see if Wolves are going to win. I don't think they're going to score more. So I'm kind of same with Sam. It's going to be a 1-1, 2-1 kind of thing. But I'm leaning towards Wolves.
Okay, so stay clear of that fixture result. Hint, can I just, because I'm just looking at the app, Timo Werner has 68 points this season and Martial has 43. That's just a fact I saw and surprised me.
Werner has how many points?
68.
68?
He got a load against Southampton and he gets loads of assists and he did score a couple early doors, but that does feel excessive.
Yeah, it feels very excessive. Considering he's put him in the biggest flop team. Like, how many does Havertz have?
But Havertz was out for 3 weeks. Havertz got an assist off the bench as well. Also, yeah, he proved me right. He came on and he changed the game. We would have won if he started.
No, he didn't. Have you heard this excuse about his like long COVID? And that's why long COVID, badly.
Which is a very real thing.
Yeah, completely understand that. But if he actually had long COVID, do you think Lampard would be chucking him in against like Man City? Obviously not. He doesn't have long COVID. He's just shit.
Nah, I disagree. You're gonna have egg on your face. All right. Okay. Next fixture. This is an interesting one. Man City, Brighton. Pep always has a few traps in store.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go out on a limb here. Oh, it's not really that much of a limb, but I think Man City will obliterate Brighton.
Fucking they play hell, he's gone out on a limb there. Wow.
How is that going out on a limb?
No, because Man City have been slightly underwhelming in some games this season, I think, where you sort of expected them to do unbelievably well and then they didn't. It's like against Newcastle at home, they only won 2-0, Southampton away 1-0, West Brom home 1-1. They didn't score against United, Fulham home 2-0. Just not that impressive, and then lost against Spurs. So I think it is a little bit going out on a limb.
Big time, mate.
But I think you've just got to go with De Bruyne, really, in this game.
What if you took out De Bruyne last week for a -4? Are you going to bring him in on your free hit, Joe?
Yeah, obviously, mate. Obviously. I was always part of the plan.
Yeah, so good.
Can I say who I think is a big trap?
Of course you can. That's the whole point of the game.
I think Aguero is a massive trap.
Yeah.
He's been out for such a long time. People are just assuming he's going to come back and like be the great player he was like 2, 3, 4 seasons ago. He's in his 30s. He's had too many injuries. He hasn't played.
Can I interject? No.
What?
Can I interject really quickly? Like the point of this game is to sort of confirm to people that their thoughts are right and to say that thought is definitely not right. That thought you're having is definitely not right. How many people do you think are genuinely thinking about bringing in 10.3 Aguero?
A lot.
He's barely played all season.
People will try and smart-ass it and think, well, he's been getting more and more time off the bench. I'm sure he'll score a load of goals in the FA Cup against whoever they're playing. I'm not... If Aguero starts, he's not a trap. He's a great option. The trap is that he just won't play.
No, I still don't think, even if he does start, I still don't think he'll do well.
Mate, Aguero's the bollocks. He's so good.
If I'm honest, I think a better trap would be someone like Mahrez, who didn't play in the last game, didn't start in the last game.
And I think Sterling could be a trap.
Yeah, Sterling. People who players are genuinely thinking about bringing in. I think Mahrez and Sterling, people are thinking about bringing in more than they are about Aguero. I think they're bigger traps.
People are definitely thinking about Aguero because they'd be like, oh, he hasn't played for ages. He's coming back. He's got a lot of injury. City don't have a striker with Jesus out. So
yeah, but they put Ferran Torres up front a few times.
They put KDB up front, which profited me nicely. Yeah. It didn't profit Chelsea nicely. But.
Yeah, but I think fantasy football players will think, oh, Aguero is going to start.
I agree. I've thought about Aguero because I think if he does start at home to Brighton, you don't agree with me, Joel, but I think he could score a hat-trick there. He's got KDB, your boy Gundogan. He's got all those players giving him.
Yeah. I don't know. I like
Aguero, to be fair. I like.
I think he's been out. I think he's been out of the loop for too long.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that.
So my essential is KDB. As I just said, he played as like a striker against Chelsea, which makes such a difference. My trap is, this is quite non-committal, but it's whoever from the defence starts in the FA Cup, because if Cancelo, I could just see him, one, people getting fucked by bringing Stones or Diaz in or something like that, and then just whoever he doesn't play in the FA Cup will play. I think it's that.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I've just thought of a really good option, which I don't know if I want to share with you, but I think I will. Edison is obviously ill. What about Stefan, 4.4, at home to Brighton? That could be a really good option.
That is smart.
Yeah.
You should put on your differential. Oh, no, we don't need goalkeepers on differential.
Yeah.
He might be back. Is Edison, because there's a long time now because of the Carabao and the FA Cup. So it's Wednesday the 17th.
I'm looking at him now. He's got 50% chance of playing.
But that's all bullshit, that stuff. It's Wednesday the 13th, and Ederson would have contracted COVID on way more than 2 days ago, and it's 10 days isolation. So yeah. He probably will be back.
Yeah, maybe.
But that's one to, I think that's one to kind of like assess,
like the creativity.
Post to the time. If he's still out, then definitely bring Stefan in. But
it's important to consider as well that like Jesus and Walker got COVID even earlier, so they'll be back for that fixture.
Yeah.
Assuming that their symptoms aren't too bad. Next game, which is an interesting one, because there's loads of people, especially people who don't have free hits, you probably have at least four Villa or Spurs players together. So Villa Spurs. There are definitely some traps there.
Go on, Joel.
I think Son's a trap because I think it's going to be quite a tight game. I mean, this is not based on anything. It's just based on a hunch, which is usually wrong. I have a feeling it's going to be quite a tight game and that they're not going to be that many goals in it. And if there are going to be goals, it's going to be like a Harry Kane pen or something like that. That's just my gut. But that's not really based on anything. But that's just how I feel.
I quite like
Son's
that.
Son's going to score a hat trick then if.
Yeah.
Aston Villa have conceded 3 goals in the last 6 games, which, and the only goals that they conceded came away against Man United and Chelsea. That's a pretty good record. And Harry Kane, considering the statistics on the amount of chances that Tottenham get, bar the Leeds game, I think maybe Kane and Son might both be traps, but I'd also say Grealish could be a trap in this because Tottenham defend really well and Grealish is pretty hot and cold with his points. He goes through a period of not getting anything, then he gets something, then again a period of not getting anything. He got something a week ago or something like that, so I think he's due a period of not getting anything again, so he could be a trap.
If Grealish had a better striker up top, he would be
so good.
Lee Watkins is so good. He's technically such a good footballer. He is.
But he butchers. Have you watched Aston Villa play? Grealish creates so many chances for El Ghazi and Trezeguet.
El Ghazi scored a lot of goals as well. El Ghazi's a good player. He's got a great finish on him as well. Yeah, I agree with that.
Arguably the best player in the league. And that's an exaggeration. But if you actually watch him play, a player who has that much influence on every game.
Louis, you can't say that considering Havertz plays in the Premier League.
That is true. And Bobby Decolo and Adam Olalook. The Villa Tottenham game is so baffling for me.
Yeah, it is.
Martinez is a trap because people would just leave him there because he's done well loads, but I'd imagine Tottenham will probably score. And you're better off going for Darlow.
Yeah.
It's really difficult, this game. You're almost tempted to leave it.
But I want the one of Son or Kane. You need one of Son or Kane for just protection, don't you?
Yeah, that's the only thing, protection.
I think Son, because Kane's 11. But then there are better midfielders than there are strikers in the game, so maybe you just go Kane and Joel Linton.
And have it.
When in doubt, pick Joel Linton.
Cool. Arsenal. This will be rabid with traps and pitfalls. Arsenal Palace. Can I go first?
Yeah, go on.
I think Arsenal aren't that good, and Zaha is a good option in this game.
I was going to say exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing.
Because no one will think it. No, everyone will think, oh yeah, let's load up on Arsenal, but they're still Arsenal, and they're below Chelsea, and we're terrible.
I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say the whole Arsenal team is a trap. just because, like, they beat us, which is, like, fair enough, whatever. But the teams they played recently haven't been that great, like West Brom and then before that,
Brighton.
Chelsea as well.
But Chelsea, I honestly think most teams would beat us at the moment. We don't look arsed. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. And you've got Fulham coming up as well.
6-pointer.
But yeah, I think Arsenal, Palace won on the weekend, didn't they?
Yeah, they beat Sheffield United, if that counts.
Okay, true. but I like Zaha looks like he's playing really well at the moment, and there's something Roy Hodgson. I don't know. I have a feeling that Roy Hodgson's kind of starting to get the balance of his team a bit better. I can see them kind of setting up quite well defensively, and then Zaha getting on the getting them on the attack. I just don't think
Eze as well.
I was going to say Eze. Yeah.
Did you watch that? His goal is unbelievable. Oh,
yeah. Lovely. Absolutely lovely.
As long as you stop Joel talking, Sam, I'm more than happy for you to fire away.
All right, I was going to say, even though I think it's established that Arsenal is generally a bit of a trap, I think Saka is quite a good option because he's so cheap and he starts every game. He is a good player. So I think, yeah, generally, that's the only Arsenal player that I'd be thinking I'd go with, to be honest. Lacazette. People are looking at his two goals and thinking, oh, Lacazette. Lacazette's useless, and he's been useless ever since he stepped into the Emirates.
Yeah.
A defender's not... I think Aubameyang, an Arsenal defender's not a bad shout, but... Aubameyang's a trap, yeah. He could score, to be fair, but he's just not worth 11.5 or whatever he
called. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think... I can't remember what I was going to say, but yeah, avoid Arsenal first.
Rob Holding's a good enabler because he's 4.5 and he'll start. He might not get you much, but...
But will Arsenal keep a clean sheet? I can see this being like a 3-1 or a 2-1, something like that. I can't see it being a something nil.
Every time I slander Arsenal, it goes badly, so...
Yeah, I hate it when Arsenal do well.
But my gut says Zaha.
The Arsenal 3 points behind Chelsea. How depressing is that?
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
I don't find it that depressing, to be honest, but I feel for you lot.
Yeah, it's Pete.
When did Fulham last play a game, Sam? You've got nothing to interject.
Yeah, I know.
You got QPR in the cup. Do you remember when we went to QPR away, Sam? This is a tangent, not
that. That was really enjoyable, actually. And I just love how aggy their fans are.
Yeah. Okay, so we've gone to...
Also, can I just say one last thing just that all our listeners know? What's it called? Loftus Road is it Loftus Road? Yeah, that's it. It's the worst stadium I've ever been to. Never do an away day there. It is dreadful.
It's really fun for an away day. It's just a shit stadium.
Also, Selhurst Park. We went there, Luke.
That's way worse.
You genuinely could only see half the pitch from where we were sitting.
Yeah, the restricted view usually means our bit the goal's blocked. At Crystal Palace, because the stadium's so shit, it just means that the roof of the stand covers half the pitch. We literally had to kneel down to see the game. It was horrendous. And the game was bad. It was 2-0 Palace, wasn't it? It was so dry.
Yeah. Terrible.
Well, this is a tangent that just isn't useful for you guys. All right, so we hope that was useful. Good luck with your free hits. If you don't have a free hit, as I said, don't sweat it, because if you get captaincy right, which would be... If you Son, Kane, whatever. I mean, there are not a lot of fixtures there, bar the City game, that actually have genuine explosiveness, I think, where you'll actually see a lot of goals and big swings. But free hits are always fun, so best of luck with them. And we'll be back the week after to talk all things doubles and so much more, as always. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.